Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Ding dong.
Hello.
I'm Liana Holston.
And I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watch every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th Anniversary Edition.
This podcast is a safe space for people who don't know anything. Movie-wise, that is.
Ooh.
Today, we're watching The Apartment.
I know your height, said your weight, and your social security number.
Number 80 on the AFI list.
Woo-hoo.
Warning, there will be spoilers about this homey old film.
Yeah.
Content warning. Oh. Suicidality. Like.
Yes.
Like.
Like huge time.
Like huge time.
Very big part of the plot. And nobody tells you that.
No, surprisingly.
No one tells you that at all.
Liana.
Oh. Had you heard of this or seen this before?
I'd actually love to play my prediction.
Okay. I'd love to hear your prediction.
Okay.
And this is why we're such a good business partnership.
I'd love to play it.
I would love to listen.
Hey, Liana. I'm just about to watch The Apartment. I think I actually watched this movie years and years ago, but at the time I had a really sort of pessimistic take and I was like, I am not going to enjoy this movie. I also had sort of a vendetta against Shirley MacLaine because I saw her in Valentine's Day and I did not like her in Valentine's Day.
Okay.
I was like, this is very bad acting. But in retrospect, it was just actually, and I'm not harshing on Valentine's Day, Liana, I know you love it, but I think that the role itself was just not well written.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
I didn't know you
so
knew
I went
that
into
about
it not wanting to
You've
like it,
about it on
and
the
I have no memories of it all. At all, I know that Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine are in it, and it's going to be a rom com. Like maybe it's like the first rom com. Is that something about it? That's not right. That can't be right. Well, anyway, I'm I guess looking forward to it, though I feel a bit wary because of my history with Shirley MacLaine. But we'll find out. I guess. All right. I love you. Goodbye.
This was in like. I watched Valentine's Day in seventh grade.
Of course.
And then I watched the movie maybe in like eighth grade if I want. I think I
yeah.
did watch it. So long well, time yes. ago. I was a different person.
Of course. And when we were 12, we were still being encouraged to sort of hate other women.
Yeah.
Whenever we saw them.
I know.
Yeah.
I was thinking about my feelings towards her and I was like, oh my gosh, these were just sort of like, I was just rude towards this actress.
Yeah.
To this very famous actress.
Mm.
Liana.
Yes.
I would love to hear your prediction.
I would love to play you my prediction.
Okay. Wow.
Hi, Sienna. It's Liana.
Hello.
I'm about to watch The Apartment. I am fresh off an episode of Love Island that was absolute carnage, so I'm sort of hoping this can calm me down. Oh my God, that episode was so stressful. I've been told
wow.
by a man that I would perhaps not hate this movie. I guess that means there's a woman in it. I hope it's maybe sort of bottle episode comedy vibes. That would be pleasant. Fingers crossed. Let us pray. Love you. Bye.
That's a pretty good prediction. Thanks. That is so funny. Yeah, anytime a guy is like, you'll love it. They're like, there's a woman and she speaks.
Yeah.
Meaning it's feminist.
Yeah. She doesn't get brutalized on screen. Oh, it's gosh, incredible. That's... It's so different.
Wowee. Okay. All right. Okay.
Sienna. And I don't know what's happening with her right now, but she's very... She's moving a little bit like if she's in water. It's just all very slow.
It's just...
And her teeth are out. That's kind of all I can say.
We watched this movie.
Yeah.
But it's not till you try writing it down that you realize how very hard it is to really put on paper.
Okay.
Here is a synopsis of The Apartment.
Mm.
Influential guys at the insurance office use Jack Lemmon's apartment to boink their office mistresses.
Yeah.
Because ostensibly everyone at the company is cheating on their wives, this helps Jack Lemmon, also known as CeCe Baxter in the movie, move up in the ranks professionally. Particularly once the manager, Mr. Sheldrake, asks for the keys. Shirley MacLaine plays Fran, the pixie-cut clad elevator operator whom everyone is crushing on, including CeCe Baxter.
Yeah.
When Baxter realizes she is having an affair with Mr. Sheldrake himself, drama ensues. Things get pretty dark when Fran takes a bottle of sleeping pills after Mr. Sheldrake won't leave his wife. But that also begins Fran and Baxter's little roommate time together at Baxter's apartment. This movie is weirdly hard to explain. But at times very sweet and very funny. The end.
Yay. Sure.
It's a Billy Wilder film.
Yeah.
So a lot of the stuff comes from like, they set it up. So then there'll be some confusing, not really switcheroos in this one, but you know, they set it up so that there will be some moments of confusion and then everybody gets on the same page. But writing it down in summary form is actually quite difficult.
A lot happens in it.
A lot happens.
Some of it. Very grim.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Liana, do you have any historical context for the film The Apartment?
Yes, I do.
1960.
Knock, knock, and welcome to the historical context for The Apartment, the 1960 rom-com dram, a romantic comedy slash dramedy slash social commentary, a rom-com dram-com.
Oh my gosh.
The social commentary part was about how, quote, getting ahead in business had become the greatest measure of personal success, end quote. That's from Turner Classic Movies.
Okay. Fascinating.
Okay. Relevant.
Interesting.
Still how sort of living feels these days. It was a lot of the time.
It wasn't that before? That's amazing.
I don't know what was going on. I think it was like the war, and then it was the suburbs, and then they were like, I guess now we'll do capitalism, like we'll really lean into that.
Yeah, yeah, we'll really give it our all.
Yeah. And then right after that, it was the like the 60s, like protests, etc. Mm-hmm. So it quickly, I think, became something else. The movie won 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, which is kind of rare for a comedy.
That's true.
Or like a film with a woman in it. Right. At the time. Only 2 black and white movies since have won Best Picture. One was Schindler's List in 1993, and the other was The Artist in 2011.
And it won because it was in black and white.
It won because it was in black and white and a love letter to Hollywood. And Hollywood was like, whoa, I love that. That's me.
And it was so twee. It's such a twee time.
The WGA, the Writers Guild of America, ranked The Apartment's screenplay the 15th greatest ever. Which, honestly, yeah. That's good. It was the basis for the Broadway musical Promises, Promises, which debuted in 1968 and then was revived in 2010. And director, producer, slash co-writer Billy Wilder and the other writer, I.A.L. Diamond, wanted to make another film with Jack Lemmon on the heels of 1959's Some Like It Hot.
Hey, baby!
So the two were reunited, or the three were reunited. Billy Wilder, on this list alone, also did Double Indemnity, 1944, and Sunset Boulevard, 1950, in addition to Some Like It Hot and now The Apartment. So we've seen he is 4% of this list.
Yeah.
My God. Slay, Billy. From Turner Classic Movies, quote, Wilder's sets were known to be easygoing, energetic, and full of humorous interaction, end Aww. Quote, which I feel like you just can kind of tell
yeah.
in each of the movies that energy comes across. Because a lot of the films we've had to watch, we've heard the director or the stars were just like fucking nightmares yeah. to be around.
Literally.
And it just, these movies do have an energy of like people enjoyed making them.
There's a levity and a joy.
Yeah.
To them.
Just like a non-inherent suffering.
Yes. Yeah. The suffering comes across in like uh-huh. a Kubrick movie. Ooh.
The movie used forced perspective for the insurance company office scenes where it's just like rows and rows and rows of desks. They used successively smaller people and desks placed to the back of the room with children and then ultimately cutouts operated by wires.
What?
At the very back.
I have to rewatch that.
I thought you would love that, which is why I wrote it down.
That's amazing.
When I was reading about it, I was like, I didn't think at all about how they filmed this. I assumed it was just a big room. But nope, they used...
I also pictured a big room.
Yeah. I know. For the time, the depictions of infidelity and adultery were very controversial.
It was openly sexual.
A saucy film. For 1960.
I love that Billy Wilder, once he jumped off the Hays Code train, just like got as sexual as possible.
Yes.
With Some Like It Hot and then this movie.
He's like, all right, we all know people bone.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about it. But just compare that to like The Wild Bunch, which came out only 9 years after this film.
Yeah.
Like, how much cinema changed in just the decade since they repealed the Hays Codes. And once again, I'm sort of a half supporter of the code.
I'm pro censorship. Pro censorship now.
Yeah, this podcast has not been good for our sort of stance on free speech. Okay, they did not have an ending to the film until the completion of shooting. Apparently, they gave Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine the pages for the final scene 20 minutes before shooting it.
Okay,
and then Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine did that final scene in one take. They slayed.
Oh,
they slayed very much.
They slayed.
Some of the inspirations for the premise of the film, one was the British film Brief Encounter in 1945 about two would-be lovers who meet at an apartment borrowed from a friend. The other one was a real-life Hollywood scandal, which took place in December of 1951, where producer Walt Wanger shot agent Jennings Lang in the groin for having an affair with actress Joan Bennett, Wanger's wife, and Lang's client.
Wow. Oh.
They apparently used Walt Wanger's friend's apartment during the affair. And annoying.
Oh my gosh.
Very annoying. The only person long-term who was like harmed because of this affair was Joan Bennett because her career got tanked.
Of course.
Because society just like slut-shamed her for it. Fucked up, my guys.
Fucked up.
Fucked up, everybody.
You'll never get away with wronging Wanger.
A bit about the cost of living, sorry. Because he mentions at the beginning.
He does. It was shocking.
He gives you statistics. He's like, here's what I made. Here was my annual income.
Yeah.
Here was my monthly rent. And I was like, oh my God.
I could pay monthly rent with a week's paycheck.
Yep.
And
yep.
then yep. and then have some. Yep. And then, yep. then some.
So the average monthly rent of a New York City apartment in the 1950s, this movie takes place in 1959, so it's right at the end of that decade, was $60, which in today's money is $750.
Wow.
Which is unfathomable. The median
in New York?
In New York. The median income in the U.S. In 1960, this is from the census, was $5,600, or in today's money, $56,600. The average monthly rent in New York City today, again, in the 1950s, it was in today's money, $750. The average monthly rent for a New York City apartment today is $3,300. And the median income in the U.S. in 1960, $56,000 per year in today's money. This in 2020, $67,521.
Oh,
so to sort of put that in context, the average monthly rent in New York has more than tripled since the 50s. The average median income in the U.S. has not even close to doubled since 1960. What are we doing? What are we all do? This is crazy. We all know this is stupid.
We all feel it.
This is untenable, literally. Anyway, Jack Lemmon in the movie, I calculated it because he tells you his weekly income yeah. and his monthly rent, and he spends 21% of his income on rent. As of 2017, over half of renters in New York City spent 30% or more of their income on rent, and one third of renters in New York City spent 50% or more of their income on rent. I'm sure a lot of people in a lot of cities are really relating to a lot of these percentages right now, myself included.
Yes.
It's fucked up, man. A lot of us are severely rent burdened and it's not changing.
Yeah.
And then finally, a little bit, a very little bit, because I ran out of time before I had to go to this power yoga class this morning about elevator operators.
Okay. I am loving what you chose to research today.
These are three little facts, and I wish I had more time. But elevators sort of loosely started in the year 1850.
Okay.
Please don't ask any more questions about that. In Chicago, elevator operators had to attend charm school. Because they were always petite, attractive women who then literally had to go and like learn etiquette.
I didn't realize it was a female-dominated industry.
It, I think, wasn't always, but for a period, for like at least a few decades leading up to the 60s, it was. And then there was a strike in New York City in 1945, post-war, which included a lot of different workers in mail, railways, and elevator operators.
I remember that.
15,000 workers went on strike and just kind of brought the city to a halt. And what's a little bit sigh about it is that was one impetus for the automation of the elevator.
Right.
Because corporate America or capitalist America was like, oh, okay, well, instead of letting them unionize, let's just get rid of them entirely.
Right. Yep.
And so the elevator operators started to really sort of go extinct as a job. It happens. Like, there are many places that use elevator operators today, but it's, of course, far less common.
Right.
And not like necessary in the way that it used to be like in the past.
Press the button.
And the reason that I bring that up is because, as Sienna mentioned in the synopsis, Shirley MacLaine plays a cute, attractive little pixie cut elevator operator in the film. It really was like a whole industry.
Wow.
And that is the end of the random historical context for The Apartment.
I loved it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Sorry, everybody, we need to take a break so that somebody can use our studio to boink. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
La la la. La la la. Wonderful historical context. Well, Liana.
Yes.
Shall we go to our next floor?
Yes.
Which, of course, is phone notes.
Phone notes. This is our segment where we look at the notes that the other person took on their phone or laptop. What are you using these days?
My laptop?
While watching the film.
It's Hollywood magic, baby.
Mm.
They don't need to know.
Sienna, you've said, this movie is confirming for us what we suspected last time, that every movie was a cowboy movie during this period of time. American hero Jack Lemmon skips the channel on two separate cowboy films in this film.
Yeah.
And I said, ally?
A tossed popcorn ally?
He knew.
I loved that scene. Now, that was social commentary right there.
Social commentary out the ass. Oh, my
gosh. He goes to turn on the TV, and I also don't... I didn't realize they had...
I didn't
movies.
Know
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know what I thought the TV was in 1959.
But they had this movie coming on. They're like, your movie is coming up as soon as you watch this advertisement. He's like, I'm not going to watch an ad.
Yeah.
So he clicks through and everything else on the TV is cowboy movies.
Yeah.
And it's either ads or cowboy movies.
Oh, and I loved that he didn't want to watch a cowboy movie.
Yeah.
It was a very early indicator of like, this is a good man.
Yes.
This man is a good man.
Liana, you've written, oh, I love Jack Lemmon. I do too.
I love him.
He is delightful.
Yeah.
I wish he was in every movie
I
ever.
I wish every movie was a Jack Lemmon film.
He moves so fast.
I know.
I kind of, as I was watching him, I was like, honestly, I said a lot of good things about Charlie Chaplin, but I would toss him in the trash for Jack Lemmon.
Of, yes. Absolutely.
Every time. Jack Lemmon is so, he's just.
He might be my number one boy from this list. Okay, so, okay. Sienna, you noted, Fred McMurray was a Hollywood icon known best for his work popularizing the beloved American genre insurance movie.
This is the second movie we've seen him in.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time he was an insurance man.
When did you realize that this was a...
that this was what?
A man we'd seen before.
When we saw his name. In the opening, and then immediately when we saw him with our eyes, and he was Fred McMurray, the Shaggy Dog
from the film,
Double Indemnity. Mm. Hey, baby.
Okay.
All right, Liana. What about yourself?
The whole movie, I was looking at him, and I was like, I've seen this man before.
She's doing sort of a glassy-eyed squint.
Who is this?
Yeah.
For a long time, I was like, is it Humphrey Bogart? And I know it's not, but it kind of looks like him. And then today, I Googled the film, and I was informed that that was the lead of the film, Double Indemnity.
That's so funny. You remembered him being noir, maybe?
I just knew I'd seen him before somewhere.
He last
I had
time
no clue
was playing an insurance agent in a Billy Wilder movie.
It's very dumb that I couldn't put that. Every clue was set up for me, and I just could not solve that mystery.
Jack Lemmon is a national treasure.
He should be knighted. I love to look at him.
I love him so much.
His face will do things that are just so, like, I don't know, impish.
Yeah,
he's just
his neck
he's
is.
He's a little stinker.
Stinker. Jack, you little stinker.
He's a little stinker.
That's exactly what he is. I just want to nuzzle his hair. Give him a noogie.
I love him.
I'd like to now talk about,
please,
how did you feel about Shirley MacLaine?
I loved her. Yeah, how did you feel having hated her in middle school?
Shirley MacLaine, I would like to formally apologize. Generally, even if I'd hated you now, I should also apologize.
Sure.
Because that's not okay. And I was completely unfounded at the time.
Mm.
And I love you.
Oh,
I loved her so much in this.
She was great. I couldn't stop looking at her eyelashes.
I wonder where else I can find her because she was a great actress.
I think a lot of films.
Which ones?
I don't
can
know.
You tell me? Her hair?
I know she was in Valentine's Day and I know she was in The Apartment. And everything between those two things, I don't know.
Her hair?
Mm-hmm.
That pixie cut looked so good on her.
She slayed every step of the way in this film. She hated the men in the office building so much, and she would tell them.
Yeah.
And her amour, Sheldrake, was like, you cut your hair. I liked it long. And yeah. She's like, I know.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I cut it. Because I knew it would piss you off. And you deserve that.
She was awesome.
Oh, she was really... I'm hesitant to say this about any male director in Hollywood, but I think Billy Wilder created some good female characters. It seems perhaps like he maybe respected women.
He at least wants them to have a good time being in his movies.
Yeah.
Which is not true for definitely most of the films on the list.
Most films today, they don't give a shit if the woman is okay. Oh my gosh. But like, she would like tell people off in the elevator for harassing
her.
She's
like, don't slap my ass. I will chop your hand off.
I will injure you in the workplace.
It was just so great.
The other women like supported each other. Like Sheldrake's secretary, Miss Olson, told Shirley MacLaine, she was like, listen, he's had an affair with a lot of women before you. But it didn't feel like she was doing it in the competitive way because she also wanted him. It was literally to be like, I'm looking out for you. And you should be aware that like he's not going to change. He said this to a lot of people.
I thought she was going to be like, you slut. But she was like, oh, it's not your fault.
Yes. He fires his secretary and she's like, all right, fine. She immediately calls his wife and is like, we have to have lunch. I have to tell you some stuff about your husband.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Incredible.
There was a lot of women supporting women in this movie.
There was. You're really right.
Mm-hmm.
It was a delight.
Yes. Same. You observed so many people at this work party are straight up making out. And I am a little bit obsessed with that.
You wrote, wow, people are making out at this party.
I couldn't believe it. So many people pressed up against the walls in every corner.
Absolutely grown adults. Just
Sucking face.
On Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve holiday party at the office. I was like, you know what? This is a good piece of historical evidence that people were horny in the past.
Yes.
Because you don't get that from a lot of movies during these years.
Yeah.
But this one is proof.
I know. I felt the same way. I was like,
people indeed made out in the past. It was great. I loved it.
I loved it too. Don't slap the ass of somebody who doesn't want you to slap their... Don't slap the ass of anybody at work.
Mm-hmm.
At a Christmas party, if you're going out, make out.
Everybody should make out with the people that they both want to be making out with at the office holiday party.
Why not?
I love it. I do yearn for an office holiday party sometimes because the movies have made them seem so pivotal.
Yeah.
To people's relationships.
Things happen at the holiday party.
Maybe that's... Yeah. We talked about, like, my love life needs me to have sort of a season finale and
fame
that I'm, like, leaving town for a period of time and then I don't. Or maybe I just need to have an office holiday party type experience where it's like, we're all, you know, it's Christmas.
Yeah. It's Christmas. And at Christmas,
we brag and we make out.
Yeah. Mm. Also... When he sees the mirror and realizes it's her, that was like a very touching, that was an electric scene. Like I just was so invested.
Mm.
My eyes were glued to the screen.
Yeah. It was a really good watch.
It was wonderful to watch.
And then it really took a serious, somber turn.
Shocking.
Which was just like... I don't think they were irreverent about it, but there was some lightness to it that's like, all right. But yes, what happens is, and here's the sort of a content reminder, is that we're going to be talking about suicidality here because Shirley MacLaine attempts suicide.
Yeah.
Because she and the guy, Sheldrake, meet for like one final little meetup before Christmas at the apartment, the titular apartment. And she's like, please leave your wife. And he's like, I'm not going to do that. And then she takes a bunch of sleeping pills. And almost dies.
Yeah.
And the rest of the film is like him nursing her back to health with his neighbor doctor who hates him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she seriously, like, they're like, she really needs help. And they like have her trying to wake up and stuff. I mean,
it was very intense.
Which is why it's not like irreverent.
No.
But it was just like, whoa, this is happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It was a real surprise.
What was really crazy is that later he's like, I took a gun.
Uh-huh.
And almost did a similar thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end, she hears a gunshot and she's like, oh, I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Or like he smells gas and he's like, oh, I know what you... And it was just very...
The stakes were... Couldn't have been higher.
The stakes were extremely high.
Which you just don't necessarily expect.
Yeah.
In a Jack Lemmon-like comedy film?
Mm-hmm.
But oh my God, that's what made it a drama in addition to a com.
Yeah. They said, you've had the rom, you've had the com. Now it's time for the drama.
Yeah. Get ready for... You've heard of Elf on the Shelf. Now get ready for...
Drama in the rom-com?
Drama on the rom-com. Drom-com on the rom-com.
Liana, you've said executive poodle. Say more. And thank you for saying it.
And thank you for saying it.
And
thank you for reading
more.
It and choosing to say it. Because it is about a dog. And I understand that you don't have to. And that, you chose to.
You've chosen an interesting set of words there. And I'm intrigued. Carry on. I'll allow it.
Sheldrake's family sends out a Christmas card that's a photo of his family being uh-huh. very like executive family, sort yeah. of CEO vibes. And in the photo is a poodle who looks very executive.
This family means business.
Yes.
All the way down.
That poodle has a key to the executive lounge. That poodle is having lunches. That poodle has meetings to go to. And corporate ladders to climb.
That's fun.
That was an executive poodle. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about this sort of, this turn in the second half where they spend a lot of time kind of nursing her back to health.
Yeah.
You've written, maybe get her some water in addition to coffee, you sick 50s fuck. That didn't cross my mind once.
Them and
I
their,
also was like, more coffee.
Them and their coffee in the 50s. All right, yep. I know she took a bunch of sleeping pills and they were like, she was really, really drowsy.
Mm.
So they were trying to wake her up.
Yeah.
But also, this woman, her body is full of these chemicals. Get her some water.
Yeah.
All they drank was coffee back then.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
it was kind of a cure-all.
It was Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
At like 3 a.m. on Christmas Eve. Again, I know she's extremely drowsy, but... Mm. Coffee isn't the only thing. Why did they use coffee to remedy everything in the world in the 50s?
Maybe, you know how there used to be like actual cocaine in Coca-Cola?
Yeah.
Maybe there was something illegal in coffee.
Maybe.
Where it really did revive you.
Or maybe it was extremely weak. I don't know. Now that I'm like a bit of a coffee.
Or it was just water.
Now that I'm a bit of a coffee drinker myself.
Oh.
It is a very potent.
It's a drug.
Substance. Mm-hmm. Like, you drink two cups of that. Your day is ruined. Well, not everyone. I know this is actually a really unrelatable statement, probably. For me, who's kind of new to it.
Mm.
But if you drink too much.
Yeah.
Anxiety city.
Shaky.
Mm-hmm. You're pooping. And you're super dehydrated.
Yeah.
That's number one.
You know, that was another thing I was surprised they conveyed in 1960 on screen was a woman throwing up.
And she was really
She
working.
Was retching.
Retching. She was retching. She was slaying. She was retching.
She was.
Yes, retch.
There was just a lot to be surprised by. You were like, why am I shocked that they had paper towels in 1960? LOL. Same.
It's like, what did they look like? Show me that.
What were they made of?
Liana, you're next. Your next note.
Yeah.
Everyone is handling this very poorly.
They kept her alive. Like that part, great.
Yes.
They got her back to being conscious. After that, he was like, you shouldn't tell anyone that you're here.
Yeah.
Because they'll report it. The doctor was like,
yeah,
I have to report it. Oh, I guess I won't because I helped as a friend. She was like, I should tell my family. Maybe I won't.
Yeah.
Mainly Sheldrake, which the point is that he's terrible.
Right.
And he doesn't like really give a shit. But mainly like the way that they were talking about it at her was really fucked up. They were like, why would you do that? It stressed me out so much.
Right.
And it's like, okay, when something like this happens, it's actually not about you. That's actually kind of the worst thing you can say is like, this is the impact that it had on me when you did
this. Oh, he's like,
what the fuck?
That's very childish of you.
Yes.
Let's pretend it never happened.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, oh boy, these are not the words that anybody should be saying.
He also, the second that he thought that she was maybe dead, he got on a bus and threw the key out a window.
Oh, yeah. Hey, he's in that double indemnity mindset. Yeah. He's like, they're going to come for me. I have to get on a train of some sort.
I need to put this key onto a train track and wait for the train to come.
If there's one thing he's going to do in a film, yeah, it is throw something important off a train.
Absolutely.
Be it a key or a man's body.
Yeah.
I think they did that in Double Indemnity.
They
right?
did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I remembered something.
Yes, we have heard Auld Lang Syne a lot. You had a note about that.
Look, I love Scotland, but this is too many times that we have heard this song. They keep using it as a way to show that time has passed. Uh-huh. They're like, and now it's New Year's Eve, and we're all going to sing
Auld Lang Syne. May old acquaintance be forgot and ever burn high.
And usually, a woman will have a realization while the song is playing.
Yes.
That's kind of the trope. Every room sings Auld Lang Syne, woman realizes something and runs.
That's really good for us to know. If we're ever trying to make a big decision for our life, yeah, we should get a group of people to sing, specifically Auld Lang Syne seems like it.
Yeah.
But it needs to be a room full of people having a good time.
If you're ever trying to figure some big question out in your life and you just can't quite determine what the right answer is.
They need to go from all talking to just talking in their own spaces to at the same time singing in unison.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything kind of clicks into place. Yeah. That's good to know.
And then the person you're with turns around and you're gone.
Yeah.
Because you figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a little bit like, okay. In so many movies on this list alone, they've just used New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Even just like we saw it in Forrest Gump. We saw it in, a Buster Keaton film. Or no, maybe we saw it in The Gold Rush, the Charlie Chaplin film.
Yeah, we did. The Gold
Rush.
We
just keep seeing it.
Certainly, Christmas Angel, Money Bridge.
Oh my God. It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. May old acquaintance be forgot for 3 minutes of an ad. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Well, Liana, if you would be so kind to press the next button to the next floor, which is going to be the segue for all of these.
Yep, great. Yep.
To our next segment, Badges and Trages.
19th floor.
Where we give badges for
Billy Wilder films that star Jack Lemmon.
Yes. And trages for Trysts and secrecy.
Ah.
I have a badge for Jack Lemon, our boy.
Our boy, our number one boy.
Our sweet little stinker.
Oh. A badge for November 1st, 1959. Thank you. I love knowing when we are.
Badge for this environment slash set slash apartment. I liked the apartment itself.
Oh. Badge for a dog. Aww. The landlady has a dog. Little Scotch Terrier. He was probably singing Auld Lang Syne with everybody else.
Badge for this is shot very beautifully.
Mm. Badge for this woman doing a buzzed Marilyn impression. The guy's like, she looks like Marilyn Monroe. She's like, I'm so tired. Can we go home? I want to go home now. Where are we going?
Badge for Fred McMurray's office furniture. Did you see this?
No.
The chair,
yes.
And the couch matched.
Shells.
Shells. Shells. Yeah.
Shells.
Shells.
Our eyes are so big right now.
They looked like seashells.
It was like the Little Mermaid was doing insurance.
Fred McMurray.
For Shirley MacLaine, I have simply written badge eternally.
I love her. Badge for frozen daiquiri, fun drink choice.
Badge for these hanging glow lamps in that restaurant.
Love.
Love those.
Badge for electric moments. It was the two of them looking at each other and then me also looking at them.
I have a badge for clever visual storytelling with the broken mirror, very smart prop, with the olives on toothpicks in a ring to show many how many martinis he's had.
Okay, yes.
It was good.
Badge for, okay, I really like Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah. Badge for being allowed to go to sleep at any moment. Because she was in a frail state, they were like, oh, do you need to rest? That's fine. She fell asleep in the middle of a conversation with a man. And I was like, can I have that? I'm so tired all the time.
Badge for her angry face. When he gives her the insulting $100 as...
Go buy yourself something.
Yeah, for a Christmas
impersonal.
Present.
Such a prick.
She looks so angry and it is so powerful.
Yeah. Badge for this deep-voiced elevator woman. Carl, her brother-in-law, comes in looking for her to her office, and this deep-voiced elevator woman is like, hello, can I help you?
Who are you looking for?
I was like, whoa!
Badge for mutually depressed cheek dancing. When they're pressed cheek to cheek, I loved this Margie lady. Also badge for Margie, who was the one who he...
Icon.
Christmas Eve, they spent some time together.
They tried a morose bone.
Yeah, they were so morose.
Oh, I loved it.
She's talking about her jockey husband the whole time.
Trying a bone to forget. It was incredible.
But they were both extremely funny together.
A badge for Jack singing while straining spaghetti through a tennis racket.
A guy's using a tennis racket, so of course he's going to talk about serving the meatballs. And he's going to serve it like...
Fun.
That's a fun gag.
It's fun. They really did away with fun gags.
No, they replaced it with boob.
Violence against women and boob. Yeah.
Oh, badge for she's so good at acting sleepy and he's so good at acting sick.
Yeah. Dynamic duo, power couple. Badge for, wow, Jack Lemmon is very hot. When I specifically realized it and sort of clutched my couch was he gets punched by Carl and falls over and she kisses him on the forehead and just the way that he looks at her.
Yeah. He's so funny and yet he's also so good at being
so
moved.
So hot.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is
so hot.
He also can emotionally respond
very hot. Yes.
Well, I guess I more specifically mean like dramatic roles. You know, he's also capable.
He's really hot.
Yeah. Well,
I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. We're saying the same thing. Badge for champagne overflowing forever and ever and ever.
When he opens the door on New Year's.
It just keeps going.
It keeps going. It's a metaphor for their love.
That's so funny.
Aw. Badge for the Denver office. They knew about Denver in 1959.
They also mentioned a Seattle office.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The branch manager from Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Slay.
Badge for callbacks on callbacks on callbacks.
Oh, my God.
Billy Wilder, the king of callbacks.
My final badge is a badge for I'll send him a fruitcake every Christmas. I said, yes, you will. Queen.
When she's like, I'll spell it out for you, but I can't spell.
My
final badge is badge for she doesn't say I love you back at the end. Which I think is actually the most, like, authentic thing, right? Mm-hmm. She was like, shut up and deal. Because she's happy to be here and dating him. But they're taking it seriously, so she's not just saying that right off the bat.
Yeah, that's a really interesting and perfect segue into trages.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I have a trage for knowing a woman's social security number is purported to be charming. The scene where he's like, I know where you live. I know who you live with. I know your date of birth. I know your social security number. And she's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, oh,
trage is similar. Trage for looking up her very personal information as a romantic gesture. Hey. LOL. Mm-hmm. He's acting just like all the other guys right now, except for not slapping her ass.
Yeah.
Which is like, just pushing her boundaries, you know?
Totally. Trage for, this was a general racism against, quote, the natives. This was a very quick yes. little moment in the holiday party.
Yeah.
But they start doing a bit about that, and it was just like, oh boy, very of that era.
Yeah.
Very racist.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trage for, there's like a throwaway joke with the Maryland character.
Mm.
Billy Wilder, love his movies. Also, though, because they're like messing around with guys like treating women wrong. There's certain moments where you're like, wait, hold on. Who did anybody actually feel this way?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There was just a little this moment where they kind of imply that because she's dumb or drunk, she's going to be like a quicker lay.
Yes.
She's like, it's going to be 45 minutes. Then she comes up and she's like, who's your mother? We're going to your mother's house? He's like, make it 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want to tee hee hee ha ha, but I'm not sure what you're implying.
That applies to so many comedy films we've seen on this. I want to tee hee hee ha ha, but I'm not sure.
I'm not quite sure what you're implying with that. Implying.
Please, I yearn to tee hee ha ha.
I would love to tee hee ha ha.
Oh, I wish I could tee hee ha ha ha. Trage for the lighting in this apartment. I couldn't see anything. It was hard, isn't it?
Dark.
Dark. It was good.
Trage for generally deceiving women all the time.
Yes.
It makes me really feel unsettled.
We see a lot of men lie to women in the movie and not really face any consequences for it, which is a bummer. A trage for, I am not sure Shirley's character has had a personality for the past hour of the film besides suicidal. Because at the beginning, she's very...
Yeah.
Like spunky, very independent, very like calls out men for doing shitty stuff. And then for kind of the latter half of it, she's very just like, oh, woe is me.
It's kind of
so
in
love with this man who doesn't love me. But we don't see anything beyond that from her.
Right.
It's a bit one note. Not yes. her, it's again, not her performance. It's the writing of her character.
I get exactly. I was noticing that too, because her performance is really like feels just so authentic the whole time. Like she's just really, really heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
And so I buy that her character is this sad right now, but it did feel like, wow, that's all she has to say anymore.
Yeah.
Is that she's just sad, mm-hmm. even though she had mm-hmm. a lot more going before.
Yeah.
Trage for stop touching her back. They did a very good job of showing the sleazeball, Fred McMurray, but stop touching her back, sir.
Stop touching her back.
Sir? Also, they were trying to escape quickly so that nobody would see them
from the restaurant.
Like, oh yeah,
he's like blatantly. There are
people we know here, but I still have to show my ownership over you.
Back. Yeah, totally.
I must touch this woman's back.
I must touch this woman's back. Trage for the only black character in the film is there to shine Sheldrake's shoes, like a one line moment in a scene at the end.
Damn. Trage for. A man slapping a woman in the face, even though it's a doctor.
I felt similarly. At one point, I was like, okay,
that's could you please stop slapping her? That's enough.
It also...
Try something else. Like, he had to wake her up from her sleep, but he's really going at it, and it was for a while.
It's like, they even cut over to Jack Lemmon being like, ugh.
And then they go back to him continuing to slap her. Excuse me, sir.
Okay. Unhand her. Oh my God. There's got to be a better way. My final trage is a trage for I wanted them to kiss.
Oh my gosh, they didn't kiss.
I wanted her to be like, I love you too. And then they smooch. But I think, again, as somebody who lives alone and spends a lot of time having sort of a TV dinner with Ed Sullivan energy, that's maybe a personal... subjective trage.
Trage for over emotional. They Jack Lemmon says to her, well, you got a little over emotional. No, in his defense, he was referring to her becoming so overcome with feelings of sadness that she did make an attempt on her own life.
Mm-hmm.
But still, that is a very triggering word.
Not good language to use.
To use on a woman.
Yeah. It just had the wrong verbiage about suicidality in this movie.
They didn't have the right words at the time
no.
to really quite treat people how they deserve to be treated. Trage for, he also, Jack Lemmon also convinces her to not talk to her own family, as we were talking about before, which again is like, that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. If a guy's like, no, 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 don't call your family and tell them where you are on Christmas. You shouldn't do that. Spend more time with me.
There were two seconds in the film where I was like, is this a horror film? And it was that. And when he was like, I know everything about you and where you live.
Yeah. That really goes to show how delightful he is, though, because you didn't, the rest of it, he felt very genuinely kind and everything. And then in those moments, you're like, sorry, what?
Oh.
Sorry, who? Trage for, he told her, I'm stronger than you are, so you have to stay here. Also, that is a threat.
Trage for myself, because I thought that was hot.
Okay.
We see a lot of weak men in our day-to-day life. I think maybe it's just, I was like, oh.
And that shows really the duality of man. Because, yeah, you've convinced me. I take it back. It's a badge. It's hot. And then final trage for just, if this isn't something you want to watch today, a lot of this movie is suicidality.
Yep.
A lot.
Very much.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are all my trages.
Well, Sienna, should we press the button and head up to the next floor of our podcast, which is, of course, how to pretend you've seen this film. This is for, you are in the elevator.
Yeah, you are.
And you are being polite and saying, oh, which floor are you headed to? Because it's crowded and you're pressing the button for people.
Yeah.
And
Fred.
Fred.
And Fred springs out from behind this crowd of people.
Doesn't take his hat off.
And says, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you for asking which floor I'm going to. Boy, oh boy, are you polite. You are such a nice little filly. You are wonderful.
Like the door is closing. I need to know which floor.
I eventually might tell you what floor I'm going to be on. But before
that, I'm pressing closed door.
I need to tell you how beautiful and polite you are.
I'm going to get off the elevator.
You remind me a lot of Little Lady I love, love, love. From a little movie I love, love, love. I can't wait to tell you everything about it.
And in order to
find out where Fred gets off,
we're going to give you a few sentences you can say to pretend you've seen the film The Apartment. Ugh, yes, Fred, I've seen The Apartment. You know, something happens to men in elevators. Maybe it's the altitude. But you always suck.
Oh, I love that. Yes, Fred, I have seen the movie The Apartment. It is one of my favorite scripts out of many of the classic movies I've seen. So much comedy, so much romance, so much drama.
Come rum drum.
It's what they used to call a come rum drum.
Come rum. Fred, you're not going to like this, but there was a brief moment in the film The Apartment where somebody sort of said ACAB. When Mr. Sheldrake says, hey, four rotten apples in a barrel, no matter how large the barrel, implying that the barrel should be done away with. Abolitionist
hell
icon.
Yeah.
Fred Sheldrake.
Yes, Fred, I have seen the film The Apartment. That's Jack Lemmon's 1960 film with Billy Wilder. Interesting, because right before that, he did a 1959 film with Billy Wilder, Some Like It Hot. Mm. Look out for Easter eggs, such as the only one I know being that they talk about Marilyn Monroe in The Apartment.
Yeah, Fred, I've seen The Apartment. My favorite interaction in that movie is when somebody says, can I ask you a personal question? And the main character says, no. Please get off my elevator.
Yes, Fred, I have seen the movie The Apartment. One of the gags that I enjoyed from that movie, and there are many, was how Cece Baxter continues to mimic the other men from his company, such as saying, blank-wise, that is.
What?
Yes. It was very fun.
Yes, Fred, I've seen The Apartment, and no, I don't want to go out with you. Why? Well, that's the way it crumbles, cookie-wise.
And now that
Fred, you issue an emergency stop on the elevator and boot Fred out of there.
Right.
And then get that thing back in service without him. To the next floor for our segment. Should you watch this? Or in which we tell you if we think you should watch this movie. Or if you should head to a different floor of the building.
Mm.
Sienna, what would you say?
Maybe I'll be an old softy today. I really liked this movie. It was really fun to watch. It was like one of the most enjoyable watches.
Yeah.
On the film. I was thinking about that very early on. Like, it just felt good to enjoy. I guess I'd recommend the movie The Apartment. Because I really can't think of anything else right now that would be comparable. Slay. As far as a lot of rom-coms go, this one was great.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jack Lemmon.
I love Jack Lemmon.
He's such a sweetie.
I love him.
Sure.
Yeah.
Give it a whirl, you guys.
Hey.
And Billy Wilder? Maybe our best director on this, I don't know, on the list.
Possibly our number one boy director.
He's a good boy director.
Mm.
Liana, what would you say?
I'm in a very similar boat. The only thing I was thinking about watching after this, I forgot to, and that was a sketch by Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie. And I don't remember really anything about it except that the premise of it is Hugh Laurie is playing an executive and he's checking into a hotel and he wants all the executive perks that he gets with his like executive stay at the hotel. So he's like, I want the executive breakfast and I want to stay in the executive suite. And he just says the word executive a lot. And I was thinking about that in this film because they just kept talking about executives. And the whole point of executives is they don't fucking do anything. It's just like a title and a way for the like community of boys will be boys to elevate each other throughout corporate America. Mm-hmm. So, hey, why not?
Yeah.
Watch the movie The Apartment.
I love it. Liana, what would you rate this film?
I would rate this movie 3.5 junior executive hats out of 5. I was going to give it a 4, but just personally, all of the themes of like suicide were really hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So the viewing experience was just slightly dampened by that. But I enjoyed it so much. Or maybe I'll say 4 junior executive hats, and I would have given it 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that feels right.
Oh, lovely.
Sienna, what would you rate the film The Apartment?
I am going to give this movie 4.8 TV dinners out of 5.
Whoa!
Right when it started, I was like, this might get a 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah.
Because it was a movie I'd really like to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And Shirley MacLaine,
oh,
so much better than her
so
role
glad
in
you
Valentine's
healed
Day.
Your feud.
Guys,
Valentine's Day is good.
The points off are for, because they're dealing with like relations with women and mm-hmm. stuff, there's just some tough things in there. And mm-hmm. it's a dated movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it was close to a perfect film.
Yeah.
In my rating.
Mm.
And I wish that we could see Jack Lemmon forever in every movie from now
on. Oh, the way he sloshed around his martini glass when he said a crosstown train.
He's maybe the most entertaining person I've ever seen.
I love looking at him.
He's certainly one of them.
Mm.
Wow. I'm so glad we got to watch a good movie.
Here we are at the top floor. We did it, everybody.
We made it home. The top floor.
The penthouse.
Thank you, everybody, so much.
This has been Tossed Popcorn's review of The Apartment. We are all over social media at Tossed Popcorn. We also really benefit from people writing us positive reviews
yes.
on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. People out there still hate us. So
yeah.
if you haven't written us a review yet, or if you want to get your friends to write a hapless podcast a positive review, we actually really would benefit from that. So
even some Instagram comments. We do read them.
Hey, we're fishing for compliments this week, very openly. Say nice stuff to us. We welcome that with open arms all the time, forever. We're also on Patreon.
Yes.
Where you can spend money.
Yes. And we do post a lot of stuff.
We sure do. And join us next week when we will be watching
Spartacus!
Every time we see a woman on film, the immediate next movie is a slap to the tit.
Spartacus!
Ah.
Thank you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
You can find us on Instagram as @SiennaJekyll and @LianaHolston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
Be a mensch. You must be swift as a coursing.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.